you, Jonga Kandemiri, and good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7, coming to you live from the Voice of America on Thursday, May 19th, 2016. I'd like to thank you for joining us live from Washington. I'm Dimyake Mwakalyelye. Here are our top stories this evening. The High Court grants MDCT the right to stage a street protest after police banned the proposed march.
The judge granted the order as per our request that the march should go ahead on the 28th of May and the police should not interfere or disrupt or disturb the march.
ZANU-PF prepares to stage a million-man march to show solidarity to President Robert Mugabe.
We decided to do our solidarity march on the 25th of May, you know, looking at where the President, Comrade RSG Mugabe, has taken us from, where we are now and where we are going.
And some Zimbabweans urge the central bank to encourage the use of plastic money to ease cash shortages.
I think the private sector must also try to come in and help through introducing plastic money, whereby you use facilities like Visa cards.
And a little bit of good news, 6 Zimbabwean women who were abused in Kuwait have arrived back in Zimbabwe. These stories and so much more coming up. Stay tuned. The High Court in Bulawayo today granted an application filed by the MDC, led by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, to declare as null and void a police order barring the party from staging a demonstration scheduled for end of this month. Our reporter Taurai Shava attended the court case and filed this report.
The party on Tuesday made an urgent application to the High Court seeking an order to declare as illegal the police's refusal to sanction a demonstration which the party intends to hold in Zimbabwe's second biggest city at the end of this month. Attorney Kolwani Ngwenya, representing the MDCT, said the High Court had agreed with his client that under the country's statutes, the police have no right to bar anyone from staging a demonstration.
The judge granted the order as per our request that the march should go ahead on the 28th of May and the police should not interfere or disrupt or disturb the march, because the judge is agreeing with us that such conduct by the police is unreasonable and an infringement on the people's rights to freely demonstrate and petition peacefully.
Police were not available for comment. MDCT Provincial Vice Spokesperson Felix Mafa commended the High Court for the decision and castigated the police for what he said was their failure to understand the country's laws.
Police should take a warning shot that they are wasting taxpayers' monies to always go and lose cases at the High Court.
Mafa said he expects MDCT supporters to come out in their thousands to express their displeasure over the current harsh economic situation in the country, adding that the party will ensure that the demonstration would be peaceful.
We are so excited that our members and peaceful civic society and other friendly political parties are going to join our demonstration, which is going to be peaceful.
Last month, the MDCT held a peaceful demonstration in Harare, which drew thousands of its supporters and top party officials, including party leader Morgan Tsvangirai. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shava.
In a related development, Tsvangirai, who traveled to South Africa early this week after he fell ill in Zimbabwe, is said to have undergone a successful medical procedure yesterday in that country. In a statement, the party, which did not disclose Tsvangirai's ailment, said it is happy that he is recovering well. The MDCT urged Zimbabweans to give him the necessary space and privacy as he recovers from the medical procedure. The MDCT has in the past criticized President Mugabe for seeking medical care in the Far East, saying he should always get help from local doctors and physicians. Hospitals in Zimbabwe are facing critical shortages of manpower and drugs. Still in South Africa, members of former Vice President Joyce Mujuru's party, the Zimbabwe People First, have requested the Vice Chancellor of the University of Fort Hare, Dr. Mvuyo Tom, to withdraw an invitation extended to President Mugabe, who is expected to attend the university's 100th 100th anniversary. Mr. Mugabe, who is a former student at Fort Hare, is set to attend the event tomorrow. Studio 7 was unable to get a comment from Fort Hare University authorities and presidential spokesperson George Charamba. A personal taste for unique designs has inspired him to open his own clothing business. Now, Velile Dube, a Washington Mandela Fellow, is hoping that this fellowship will empower him towards the realization of his goal. Dube is among 60 Zimbabwean young people headed for the United States to take up business and leadership studies at various institutions of learning. He tells Studio 7's Ntungamile Nkomo that he is humbled to be one of the few that was chosen.
It is a very big achievement. I am still humbled and I'm coming to terms with it to say I'm actually going on this thing. I intend to make the most of it.
You are passionate about entrepreneurship. What business exactly are you targeting?
I intend to get into custom-made men's clothing, tailor-made designer men's clothing. The idea came about as a result of failure for me to get the exact cut and fit of clothes that I would want when I get into shops. And as such, eventually I would go and buy material and go to a tailor. So when I started making these suits, I got a lot of inquiries from fellow churchmates and colleagues and people that I bump into saying, where did you buy your suit? I want a suit like that. Where did you buy your longs? I want longs like that. And eventually I saw an opportunity, which is the reason why I want to get into this venture of men's custom-made clothing.
So after the Mandela Washington Fellowship, what next for you?
What next for me? I will come back and hopefully impact what I've learned on the fellowship on my local business scale from my personal perspective and also onto my region within Bulawayo and subsequently Matabeleland. It's not going to be an overnight thing, that much I know. But the little knowledge or the big amount of knowledge that I'll learn, I want to come and cascade it down to my industry this size, because I'm very passionate about industry. That's why I'm at the Chamber of Commerce.
Many companies across Zimbabwe and Bulawayo in particular have shut down because of the ongoing economic challenges. How do you think you'll manage?
I think I'll manage because I'm right at the heart or the forefront of these companies shutting down. I see them shut down every day. Some of them, their demise could have been avoided. Some of them were trying to advise to say, no, maybe try and take this shift and try this, try that. So I think I'm in a slightly more informed position.
2016 Mandela Washington Fellow Velile Dube on the line with Studio 7's Ntungamile Nkomo from Bulawayo. Six women and girls arrived in Harare today from Kuwait and are now in the hands of Zimbabwean authorities before being handed over to their families tomorrow. One of the young ladies, who only wants to be known as Nancy Moyo, said she is looking forward to meeting her family and is grateful for the assistance provided by the Young Women Christian Association that bought their tickets. Some of the women who were promised lucrative jobs before they left Zimbabwe were allegedly abused by their employers. Some were allegedly forced to do menial jobs and others to engage in commercial sex. Moyo tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mtlanganyahuye that she tells Marvelous Mtlanganyahuye more about her predicament and the other returnees.
We were six who left from Kuwait. I'm very happy and I'm very thankful for the Voice of America Registration for helping us and for broadcasting for everybody to be aware of our situation, and Mama Nyarazo for buying us for tickets, and Mr. Ngwenya and Mrs. Ngwenya for all the logistical years been doing in Kuwait, trying to help us here, and Zimbabwe delegations who have been helping, who were behind the scenes to make us arrive safely, and those who came to pick us at the airport, we are very thankful of them. If it wasn't for them, I don't think we could have made it through. But they've been there, no sleeping, and doing it all wholeheartedly to make us back home. They were very thankful of those people. I'm very happy on behalf of all my friends who have come back home.
Tell us a little bit, what are you hoping to do now that you're back in Zimbabwe? Because many will ask, whatever made you go to Kuwait, still exist, what are you going to do differently?
Oh, I'm hoping to go back to school and be a dental assistant or start a business, catering business, making and doing catering for weddings or parties and anything else or corporation. Oh, I'm also advising those who want to go abroad. If you are promised a job abroad, you have to first contact the embassies or relevant authorities to ask for more information. They can help you with all the information you want. Contact them, you tell them about the job. They will tell you if it is right for you to travel or not. If they say no, don't force things and go. Because like us, we forced things and went. But when we arrived, you find that it was differently from what we are hoping to achieve. So listen to those people who are in authority. That's why they are embassy.
When do you get to meet your parents and your family?
We're going to meet our parents tomorrow. I'm just looking forward. I'm just going to hold my head high and not let this take me down or whatever. It's a learning process. If I was just to be told by somebody else, I would not even believe that these things happen. Like, but now I can stand as an ambassador to tell other people that when this thing, if you're promised such a thing, don't believe in it. But before you do it, check.
That was a woman who has just returned from Kuwait with five others and only wanted to be identified as Nancy Moyo, and she was speaking there with Studio 7's Marvelous Mtlanga Nyahuye. In total, more than 200 Zimbabwean women and girls have reportedly been trafficked to the Middle East by some employment agencies.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metom Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up, ZANU-PF prepares to stage a million-man march next week, but will this benefit Zimbabweans? And also, bond notes, will they fix Zimbabwe's declining economy? So many questions. Stay tuned. But first, a look at regional and international news. The crash of an Egypt Air flight en route to Cairo from Paris was more likely caused by a terrorist attack than by a technical failure, Egypt's aviation minister says. Minister Sherif Fatih discussed the crash even as a search operation continued in the Mediterranean for wreckage from the plane, which had 66 people on board. The Airbus jet disappeared from radar today, moments after it entered Egyptian airspace on the four-hour flight from France. The Egyptian official said France would be responsible for any security lapse if terrorism is confirmed to be the cause of the crash. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, the government there has issued an arrest warrant for Moise Katumbi, an opposition leader planning an election challenge to President Joseph Kabila. Government spokesperson Lambert Mende told Studio 7's VOA French to Africa today that the arrest warrant was issued after Katumbi was indicted on a charge of hiring mercenaries. Four foreigners, including a former U.S. soldier, were arrested at a Katumbi rally in the city of Lubumbashi 2 weeks ago. You're listening to Studio 7 coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. ZANU-PF youth say they are going ahead with a planned million-man march to show solidarity with 92-year-old President Robert Mugabe, scheduled for Africa Day. The party's youth league says this march is designed to show the world that Mr. Mugabe enjoys a lot of support at home through his party, and appears, though his party appears to be riddled with factionalism. The Million Man March is said to be the brainchild of one of the factions allegedly led by First Lady Grace Mugabe, calling itself Generation 40 or G40. This group allegedly wants her to succeed President Mugabe. She has already denied these allegations. The other faction, said to be led by Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa, who is also allegedly harboring presidential ambitions and backed by war veterans, is boycotting the Million Man March. But will this march benefit Zimbabwe? Studio 7's Gibbs Dube posed this question to ZANU-PF youth leader Tongai Kasukuwere and MDCT youth leader Lovemore Chinoputsa. Kasukuwere says the Million Man March will benefit Zimbabweans in many ways.
For us, I mean, we've taken this day, the 25th of May, it's Africa Day. We decided to do our solidarity march on the 25th of May, you know, looking at where the president, Comrade Ali Mugabe, has taken us from, where we are now and where we are going. We are appreciating the leadership and the vision of His Excellency, who has led the country to the next level of independence through overseeing the revolutionary redistribution of the basic means of production. So the ZANU-PF Youth League is basically saying that legacy has got to be celebrated. That legacy has got to be something that we need each and every young person here in Zimbabwe to look up to. And also, the ZANU-PF Youth League is not blind to the realities of what is happening in the country. We are saying we need to mobilize for the economic empowerment of young people by bringing to account our own government and also implementing the vision, the vision that the president has called for, an empowered society and a growing economy. And you'll find this in our document, the Zimbabwe Agenda for Socio-Economic Transformation, the ZIMASE document. So we are saying, this is a day where we can sit with our president. We are not people to go to press conferences and be shouting at our own government. No, we've got an opportunity to meet with our leadership. We've got an opportunity to celebrate our leadership. And through that opportunity which is given to us, we can also articulate some of the challenges the people of the young people of Zimbabwe are facing in a much more civilized manner, not to stand on top of a roof and, be doing megaphone diplomacy. That's not the way we operate.
Let's bring in Mr. Chinoputsa. Briefly, what is your reaction to what Mr. Kasukwere is saying?
Our reaction is that there is more that could be done by the Youth League of ZANU-PF. The issue here is not about over-celebrating a man who has failed the people of this country. The issue here is not about lying to this man that they really want him to continue, because we know that at this point in time, ZANU-PF is disintegrating in each and every faction that helps him to take over power. So we will not be cowed into submission by a faction in ZANU-PF, the so-called G40, that wants to show its support to Robert Mugabe, when in fact we know that it is only positioning itself to take over power. Our main worry is that after people have marched, after people have shown their so-called support to Mugabe, is the situation of the young person on the ground going to improve? Is the situation of the young person who is failing to get a job going to improve? Are the people who are not going to get a meal simply because the ZANU-PF Youth League has taken to the streets to celebrate the men who have brought so much challenges in this country? All we are saying and all we are urging the people of ZANU-PF is basically that they do not have to force people to come to their marches. And secondly, whatever the sources of the income that is going to be used for this march, it better be used to the betterment of the people of Zimbabwe. And secondly, if the young people of ZANU-PF are really representing the young people of this country, I think they should take this opportunity to hammer to Robert Mugabe. But the people of this country are sick and tired of his leadership.
What Chinoputsa is saying here is that, kindly tell the president that his time is up and, are you going to do that?
No, my friend. You see, look, Chinoputsa is a confused young man. He's coming from a party with 7 different factions in itself, and he wants to come and call the ruling party of this country a factional party. We have one ZANU-PF, we have one president, and that is Comrade Ali Mugabe, and he is in charge as we speak today. If this young man commits a crime, if he kills someone today, if we are going to say we are going to hang him or whatever, the person who signed that is Ali Mugabe. He is the legitimate president of the country. So stop talking about factions in ZANU-PF. You need to concentrate on MDC, which has 7 different ones. First of all, fix your own house before you start talking about that. Let's deal with the issues here. Number one, the first issue is the president of this country is Ali Mugabe. Number two, the next election is only coming in 2018. Number three, independence in this country was brought by ZANU-PF through the leadership of President Ali Mugabe. His own education, Chinoputsa, is because of the policies of ZANU-PF.
Mr. Chinoputsa, you can hear that Mr. Kasukwere is saying that you should stop saying that Mr. Mugabe should go.
Ah,
let's not really get into who elected who and where. Because we know that for a fact that the 2018 election was a stolen election. We know that the 2018 election was not done in the proper manner. And the legitimacy of President Mugabe since then has remained, the legitimacy is not there. So we know for a fact that President Mugabe is president of this country, not because the people were supposed to love him, but because of the shenanigans that were played in 2018. So we do not want to confuse things here. Nevertheless, our main issue is that now that Zanu-PF is going to get an opportunity, Zanu-PF is going to get an opportunity to show to the world that they love their president so much. I think they should, this love should go further and be able to show that they love this man by also telling him the truth. President Mugabe over the years has let people around him who tell him the truth.
That was MDC youth leader Love Mochinoputa. You also heard from Zanu-PF Young Youth League member Tongai Kasukuwere. Both spoke with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube. Business people and economists have, in our last two editions of this three-part series on Zimbabwe's economy, expressed dissatisfaction over the central bank's proposal to introduce bond notes in an effort to promote exports and reduce the country's dependence on imports. Members of the public are also worried about such policy measures being spearheaded by the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe, which has a history of printing a worthless local currency. As reporter Patricia Mdadigwa reports in this last edition, bond notes are reminding some Zimbabweans of the country's historic hyperinflation between 2000 and 2009 that left many of them penniless.
Tinomuda Zengeya is among millions of Zimbabweans who don't want to be reminded of the days when they used to carry large sums of money to buy just a loaf of bread. He believes that those days are about to return, as Central Bank Governor John Mangujga is planning to introduce some coupons known as bond notes in an attempt to revive the economy, now projected to grow by only 1.4% instead of the initial official rate of 2.7%. Zengeya says the bond notes will not fix the ailing economy, including bank queues resulting from lack of cash.
The government should address the problems that they are seeing in the economy, the issue of exports, which they're talking about, that we are not exporting anything, we're importing anything, everything, which is causing this short problem. The government should address those challenges, because it is up to them to address, because the problems were caused by their policies in the first place, so they should reverse the policies that are causing these problems.
Another Harare resident, Ngobizita Mlambo, says the cash crisis is a signal that all is not well in Zimbabwe.
The cash crisis is a reflection of a broader national crisis, a failure of governance, a failure of the government of President Robert Mugabe, whom we are calling to do the noble thing, to resign.
Timothy Mugewa concurs, stressing that Zimbabweans are losing confidence in President Mugabe's government, as there's no tangible proof that it may fix the ailing economy.
When the government has failed, these are the symptoms which before us ordinary citizens, that we lose trust in all sectors of the economy, we lose trust in the banking sector, then we don't even put money in the bank.
Mugewa says instead of introducing bond notes to solve the current crisis, the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe and the government should encourage locals to use plastic money.
Right now, I think the private sector must also try and come in and help through introducing plastic money, whereby you use facilities like Eco Cash, maybe Visa cards. Because right now, without cash, you are going nowhere. And this idea of bond notes or bond whatever, which the governor of Reserve Bank is trying to introduce, will never help in any way. It will actually worsen the situation, because right now we see all the industries are not functioning and we depend on imports. How are we going to import when we don't have the required foreign currency? So this crisis is just only but a symptom of a failed state.
It still remains to be seen whether the central bank and government would pay attention to some of its citizens who have been angered by moves to introduce bond notes to tackle the current cash crisis and ultimately fix the bleeding economy. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
Now, at the same time, some people in Zimba communal lands, Mashonaland West Province, which is the home area of President Mugabe, are reportedly clueless about the proposed introduction of the bond notes, which the central bank says will promote exports. Our correspondent Arthur Chigoriwa has more from the provincial capital.
Most villagers in Mukwasha and the Wazi Odds professed ignorance over the bond notes mooted by the central bank, with just a few locals saying they have heard something about the coupons. Mrs. Brandina Waze, a vegetable vendor, is among people who do not have any idea about the bond notes said to be released within the next 2 months by the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe. Another Waze villager, who only wanted to be identified as Pamela, thought that the bond notes are already in circulation.
We don't know anything about the bond notes, but we will just accept any money that comes our way.
But Mukwasha villager Timothy Machaya said he only heard about the bond notes on radio, but is skeptical about using them as he still has piles of worthless bearer checks at his home.
There's no way that it can be used, except in Zimbabwe only. The disadvantage is we cannot find some of the imports from other countries. So it means people will starve, because some other countries will not receive that bond note as money.
More Blessing Maposa also echoed the same sentiments, adding that the bond notes would be similar to the abandoned Zimbabwe dollar. Zimbabwe abandoned its worthless currency in 2009 when it adopted multiple currencies to keep biting historic hyperinflation. Machia said Zimbabwe needs a strong currency that can also be utilized outside the country and not bond notes if the government is serious about revitalizing the economy.
I think this bond note is just similar to a bearer check.
But Esnat Mooni of Shirauko Mineral Lands, who believes that the bond notes are already in circulation, says the coupons are better than the United States dollar, which is not really available in the country. According to Mooni, the bond notes are expected to revive the ailing economy.
We heard that the bond notes were introduced, and we are going to use them like how we use old bond coins. Bond notes are good because it is our money, unlike the United States dollar, which will go back to its original country.
RBZ Governor John Mangunja has already indicated that the bond notes are designed to promote exports and stimulate the distressed economy. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoi, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
Tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, where hosts of the Women's Roundtable, Marvelous Mtlanga Nyahuye and Praxedes Jeremiah, will be talking with listeners and experts about hunger in rural areas where crops failed due to inadequate rains. If you wish to join the show, please call us at 001-202-619-2077. That number again is 001-202-619-2077. Or you can also send us a message or number us on our WhatsApp at 001-202-465-0318. That number again, 001-202-465-0318. And also please note that we'll be live streaming live on Facebook. Now, do I need to introduce him? No, you know him. Oliver Mtukudzi, Mkuru Mkuru, coming to you live from the Voice of America right here in Washington. Now, before we go, a quick recap of our top stories today. The High Court grants MDCT the right to stage a street protest after police banned the proposed march. ZANU-PF prepares to stage a million-man march to show solidarity to President Mugabe. Some Zimbabweans urge the central bank to encourage the use of plastic money so as to ease the cash shortage problem, and six Zimbabwean women who were abused in Kuwait are now back home safe in Zimbabwe. And that's our broadcast this evening. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele, hosted by Ntungamili Nkomo. This is Ndimiyake Mokadielye in Washington, wishing you a very, very good evening.